Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another fun-filled edition of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amin Alhassan. I'm joined, as always, by Black Trey, Big Waz, Big Jerb, Rob Lopez on production. You cannot see video of me if you're watching video. That's because I'm in New York and my internet connection is not amazing. Shout out to the city that never sleeps and also never has a strong Wi-Fi signal. We got a lot to get into today. A lot of fun stuff, but before we get into that, right before we hit record, we were talking about Trey's playing days in Puerto Rico. And Trey, you were telling us about the worst haircut you ever got in your life.
So, I got a cut, $7.
Nice.
My man oversold it. He like, yo, I got this barber. He nice. He'll hook you up. And you know, the Spanish cats, they try to line up your eyebrows and everything, bro. They they take it to an extreme. And I'm strictly West Coast. I ain't never had that experience, right? So I'm like, you know, but my man got a crazy head shape. Like, it's like, you know how niggas have the big forehead? So they line up line, like it kind of wrap. So like, that works.
Like the quarterback for the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson.
And Vince Young. Right. Vince Young.
Vince Young also, yeah.
Right.
So his shit is crispy. I'm talking about like, and it's the first time I ever had razor applied to my hairline. Because it wasn't doing it. Kev wasn't doing that either. Like, that wasn't nothing like he was just asking for. So I'm like, okay, his shit crispy. I got next. I'm over here just rubbing my hands, Birdman. I'm hype. And it was like apartment, like damn near sketch, like some crazy shit. So we're in Aguadilla. And it's $7. So I'm hyped about that, too. So I'm like, seven cash for sure. He's cutting my hair. I don't even know. And you know, when you cutting your hair, you don't make eye contact with your barber. Unwritten rules. Right. Don't ask me why.
And they tilt you away from the mirror.
Yeah, so and like the mirror not even there until you like.
said, don't ask me why.
Because I don't have an answer for you, bro. But overall.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know why that is either.
Like, when somebody's cutting your hair and you say, oh, wow, why you didn't stop him? You knew he was fucking you up. You don't be knowing, bro. You just be thinking like he just getting right. And he just like, all right, cool. You don't even know how high he going. Well, my man done put a, like a vertical line, then slope me down, and then vertical line me down. So that should look like, I'm trying to just like Vince Young for sure. Like it was crazy because my hairline, it goes straight across. You can't just get jazzy with it.
You're saying he made the letter M in your hairline.
The corners was so high, bro. Like it was on some Dracula shit. Like it was so crazy. Listen, I wanted to cry, but I was too old to cry. So I'm like, I just wore like headbands, hats for like at least a month till my shit got back right.
Why did you just go baldy? Like just shave it all off?
I don't know, man. I wasn't even really thinking like that.
You know the crazy shit too, Trey, is that in New York, the Dominicans and Puerto Rican cats are some of the illest barbers in the city. Like in New York, like they get busy, but it's just crazy that in
Dominicans are known, right? Like also for the hair, for the women,
they every ethnic woman in New York gets their hair done by Dominican women.
So I'm trying out a new barber on Wednesday, Lord willing. Here we go.
In Portland?
Now, I don't know if he's French. I don't know if he white. I don't know if he a John B type nigga. But the nigga charging me $65, first of all.
Oh, my goodness.
Listen, $65 for a haircut? He cutting in fucking a warehouse with the aesthetics. You know, he doing all the shit with the lights and all that shit. So we going to see if he get me right. But
craft whiskey probably on deck. That's the most I've ever paid for a haircut
in my life.
Does he have a miner's helmet? The miner's helmet light on?
Yes. Yes, with the black gloves.
The black gloves. There you go.
Yeah, so bro, he gonna probably and it has the little session. You book it, and it's 90 minutes, and it's all like, bro, I'm telling you, Jerv, I ain't never seen no shit like this.
Damn, bro.
But he says, says 50 for a normal cut, 65 for haircut and shave. And I ain't got much no more. My shit thinning. I just get the one. I get the Pharrell and give me a goatee and call it a day. 65 for that. I'm about to learn to cut my hair like Mari.
Fam, listen, bro. I was just about to say, my man Mario do it for the dub. You know, if you only getting a one, listen, bro. You let me try. I'll try it out on you. Go ahead, yo. Say you little $65. You ain't gotta do that, dog. That's a ridiculous price for a haircut.
You gotta be like Mario. You gotta get that gold clippers that they sell on Instagram.
So he got them. Joints, the little thin joints that's clean and, bro. I'm gonna link y'all to homie.
What's the most y'all have ever paid for haircuts?
Out here, 40, 45.
40.
Yeah,
40. I paid 60-something, but this was during the finals in Oakland. And I got the dude, what's his name? Because he cuts a bunch of dudes' hair on the Warriors. He came to my hotel room and gave me a cut. So like it was like extenuating circumstances, but otherwise.
Well, when you got somebody coming to see you, it's a little different. You know what I mean? You have to heighten. You have to add it in. Absolutely, yeah. I think I paid Kev probably like $100 one time just because I had it at the time. Right. Like he ain't charged me the $100, but I think I just like was just on some like homie shit. Like, yo, pull up. You coming all the way to Beverly Hills? Like, come on.
This nigga definitely charged me the $60 whatever.
Yeah, that's sick.
Damn, I feel like I've been doing my barber some disservice by being upset that he charged $35.
But you gotta look at it where you live.
Exactly.
Whoa. I live in the land of the barbers, bro.
No, I ain't talking about that, fool. I'm talking about like the income, like you know
so
what
now
saying?
Philly
like,
is the land of barbers too, Jervis, the land of spitters, barbers. What else are y'all the land of, man? Like
You got your ever loving mind.
How did Philly get crowned? The land of barbers.
Everybody just got nice shapos, bro. Everybody's lines is crazy. Like, yo, it is what it is.
Yo, I mean, take us to Lovecraft,
barbers,
man.
Listen, barbers are like Madden players. Everybody nice till they meet a nice person.
Yeah.
Right.
You feel me? Yeah. Like, that's just like Madden. You like, oh, my nigga nice. He really nice. And then you smoke that nigga. You like, oh, I thought he was nice.
Exactly.
So Jerv to say like, oh, yeah, my barber nice. And then he meet another nigga with
also,
bars.
Also, Jerv, it's been a minute since you needed the services of a barber. They might have fell off since you needed them, bro.
First and foremost, good brother.
How do you fall off as a barber, though? Like, do you just, like, fuck up a haircut?
I've had a fucked up barber in Connecticut too. When I went to the Spanish dude in Connecticut gave me the
chin strap,
the super duper thin beard.
Yeah, the chin strap. I hate the chin strap.
Every time I see somebody with a chin strap,
I want to punch him in the face. I hate the chin strap. Remember Kev Love had the chin strap when he was at UCLA.
You see my beard. My beard has been a real beard. You know, it may not be. Yeah, but and it's been wide since fucking.
Since you had a beard.
I don't know, junior year, senior year, high school. Yeah, like boy gave me the thin beard. I came back with a picture from my barber in Philly and showed it to him, and he was like, "Poppy, I can't do that."
The fact that he called me Poppy.
I respected his honesty. I was told boy was nice, but he wasn't nice.
What's the worst barber cut you ever got?
Man. You know, I've gotten a few, bro, because I used to be the dude that was unloyal to the barber, and I would just go to whoever. This is when I was younger, when I was a teenager. Whoever was open, I would walk in and be like, whoever's the first person available, I'm getting a cut to get out of here because I don't want to wait 3 hours.
That's why you love that military cut so much. You ain't had nobody that just gave you that.
I was like, bro, I don't want to be in here for 3 hours waiting for the person that, you know, the two people out of the six that like are really the best people. So I've had my few, man. So that like nothing sticks out. Like out here when I first
that nigga me might be the loyalest nigga to his barber, bro.
When I first moved out here, that was a whole
process. This
nigga
so many barbers, bro.
I followed Big Mike, man, everywhere because you know what it was. The cut I got before I switched to Big Mike was the worst cut I ever got. I went and I'm not gonna name the barber shop because my barber was really good there, but then he got sent away. And so I wanted to be supportive. Like, I'm going to still support the shop because it was his shop. Like, and he had to go away. And he was a really good barber. So I went to the next guy who's a funny guy. And, like, you know, he's a very barbershop barber, right? Like, cracking jokes and arguing about sports and all that stuff. He's from Atlanta. And so I always see who he cuts other people. I'm like, he does a good job. So I sat in his chair, and I guess he's never had to cut hair like mine before. Because, I mean,
Can you explain hair like yours? I call you cat hair. Yeah. But go ahead.
I guess that's the best way to describe it to people. Yeah, I got weird Sudanese hair. So it's not quite as, you know, textured as wise.
Coarse is the word that
he can't
you're
get
looking
kinky
for.
Or nappy,
yeah,
guys.
Right.
But it's also not straight.
He don't got nigga naps, y'all.
He cannot be a peasy boy like me.
I'm not peasy, no. But I'm also not like the Indian dudes or whatever with like.
Right.
I'm not Klay Thompson either. Like it's coarser than that. So, you know, and because of that, it doesn't like kind of grow evenly. Like there are parts where it looks like there's hair and there really isn't, and there are parts where there's a lot more hair than. So he just went, and I had waves too. Like, I had nice waves. If you've ever seen that picture of me that I post every once in a while, me in the blue shirt looking down, with like, that's like the top.
I could see you, Amin, being the Wolverine meme where you're just like staring at that picture missing. You can go back to those
days.
It's just
so like, I feel like, who is that person? That's not even me. So you know, he cut this thing and it was like uneven, and then he messed the lineup. And that's the part that really killed me, because like, I could have made do while it grew back, but like, having a crooked line was just like, come on, man, what are you doing? And so I didn't say anything. I paid him. And then, like, I literally got in the car and I drove. And the first black barbershop I saw, I stopped and I walked in and I said, can you help me? And that barber was Big Mike, and he gave me the cut for free. He fixed this fucked up cut.
Wow,
and
then he said, that's a no stand up dude right there, bro.
Yeah, I've been with him ever since. And he moves a lot. He's moved to like 5 different shops. Sometimes he's on his own, sometimes he's part of a bigger shop. I've stayed true even as he's moved further and further from where I live. But hey, man, like, the guy knows my hair. He knows, and all the tricks of how to make it look a lot fuller than it really is.
Loyalty, y'all. That's a lesson in loyalty, y'all.
Yep.
Shout out to the barbers that know how to do the tricks to make it so it seem like you still got hair up there when you don't.
And by the way, we don't use any smoke and mirrors out here. No Beijing, no paints, none of that.
My barber. Hey, man, I'm not gonna lie. Hey, I've been brother. Letting the homies tap the corners. When they corners? Tap, they tap the the corners get tapped every now and again. So, I'm not mad at
looking
it.
In the mirror.
I let them tap the corners. And I was like, it's just like, fuck it. Let them just tap. They put the card there and then they go. And I'm like, oh shit, that shit. He's like, yo, if you don't use shampoo for 5 days, you can't shampoo it for 5. You can get it wet, all of that, and it'll stay blackened. But once you wash it, it's gonna be gone. So. Yeah, man. Try to time your shampoo and conditioner for right before you go to the barbershop, and you'll be looking right for at least 4 or 5 days.
You're giving a sick 101 right now.
Facts.
Trey, what were you going to say?
Nah, I just was laughing, man, because I was just thinking about that shit, just like just different haircuts and shit. Like, when you really be factoring all of it in, like, you really be that, like, you the most loyal to your barber, my nigga. I don't care through thick and thin.
You know what I'm saying?
Through thick and thin, like, bro. Like, you'll put money on a nigga books, bro, if he can come home and get you a cut,
yo,
bro.
Yo, man, it took my man getting locked up for me. He basically said, I'm looking around. You know, and it's funny, like, right now, Big Mike, I like, during the pandemic, obviously, my hair has been growing out crazy. He's like, yo, you embarrassing me. You going on TV. People know how you cut your hair, and they're hitting me up. What's up with your boy? I said, hey, man, at least you know I ain't cheating on you. Right? Like,
oh, boy.
I'll tell you what I wish I could cheat on. Goddamn Lovecraft Country, man. I wish I could do it so dirty.
Yeah, just fast forward to the end. My goodness. This episode was a lot. Last week was just like, oh,
so this
last
this
week
is
was
the
OG.
First, this is the first episode, my nigga, where I was like, hey, I feel Jerv. I feel me. At this point, my nigga, what the fuck is going on here? And I watched it late last night, right? So I'm like, I really don't want to finish this. That's where I was at with it. Like, it's 11:30 at night.
It felt
almost
like
pushing 12.
I'm sorry. It felt like the episode was 4 hours long.
Facts.
Oh, yeah. The subtitles was dragging.
Subtitles will do that to you.
I'm like, do Shorty got the real life firebox with the dragon in it? Like, what's really popping right now?
Firefox.
You know,
yo, was that her dad she slept with?
Well, it's not her. It's not her.
Oh, come on,
I don't know. I don't know what was going on with that part of it. The monster, like the lady's ex-husband. Raped the daughter,
raped the
because she had the kid, the stepdaughter, and she summoned a demon to kill him. But in order to bring the daughter back, the demon has to kill 100 dudes, and it was just so convoluted and just like, what? What is this?
It's a lot.
You know,
I'm not even gonna lie to you.
And they just dropped this in the middle of Korea during the war, and it was slightly ill about that. I mean, sorry to cut you off. That's the war we don't really talk about like that. We talk about World War I, World War II, Vietnam. We never really talk about the Korean War like that.
Korean War is MASH. That's what MASH is about. MASH is about the Korean War.
I give Lovecraft credit for highlighting important events and shit.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like, from that aspect. But when they go sci-fi, them niggas be going like, they push that motherfucker to the limit, bro. Like, you be like, yo, you blowing me right now. Like, what are you doing? Shedding skin, and now, nigga, you got some octopus type thing coming out of pussy and eyes and fam. Like,
by the way, this is the other thing I kind of felt. I'm like, Tick, if you saw tentacles come out of a bitch's eyes and suck your memories out of your head, then how would you be, like, confused by any of this other shit? Like, did you want to bring that up to everybody in the car, by the way? There are supernatural things. How do I know? I saw it myself in Korea.
Right.
Or do you just act surprised like your uncle and Liddy? Right. Like, oh, was that a vampire? Oh.
Right. That I noticed that. I was like, well, if he was familiar with magic before, then why was this shit some whole ordeal, you know? Shouts to Jamie Chung, by the way, the actress who basically plays the main character in this week's episode. She did a thing. Like, she killed it. I enjoyed her performance. But, like, this diversion was just strange to me. It was just a strange bottle episode. What were we supposed to take from this? That he learned that death is in his future? I mean, isn't it in all of our futures?
You go home, you're going to die. Yeah. Like, no, bitch, I'm
actually able to die. Of course you're going to die.
I'm black, going to 1950s America. Like, pretty sure, like, yes, I know.
I'm going to die at some point. Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? As tentacles shot out of your pussy in your eyes and sucked my memories out. Yeah, forgive me for not wanting to stick around and listen a little bit more to the wisdoms that you
have. Yeah, my man got ghosts. He got ghosts like if this the mom came home and caught him, he ran out of that shit butt-ass naked.
The mom did come kind of catch him. Like, she opened the door.
Yeah, but she was just like, what? But I'm just talking about just in a hood perspective. But it was just hilarious that, like, my man done fell in love with the nurse. He crying. He getting emotional. You know
what
I'm saying?
Do you think you could do that? Could you pretend to like someone just long enough so you could fuck them over? Now, in this case, she was actually planning to kill him, but, like, you?
Shit, some evil people out here in this world, bro. I'm sure people could do it.
I'm asking y'all specifically, like, pretend to be nice to someone, be their friend, and get them in the good graces, and then, like, screw them over, bitch.
That shit remind me of that Meek Mill song. What was it, Tony?
Nah.
Or whatever the one?
Tony Story. That's a dope series.
That's what that remind me of. I can't
be around
nigga
people
moms and then he get back.
I can't be around people I don't fuck with. Like, I it's not gonna work. You know, to just be able to hold that in, and you know, and again, like, it's kind of dope that the story delves into it. Like, our hero is not really a hero. Like, he did terrible things in the name of his country.
He shot, like, that nurse with the quickness. I was like,
son, it was,
by the way, here's another question. Bro. Here's another question. If they say, I'm going to shoot everyone until I find out who the communist spy is, and they shoot two of them, why didn't anyone raise their hand and say, it was the first bitch you shot? That was the spy.
Yeah, like, you get it already.
Like, what are y'all doing? What are we doing here?
Did no one did y'all peep in the flashback that this dude had a wrench in his hand and was pulling the chick's teeth, like, torturing her?
Yeah, they were doing torturing her,
I was like, yo, y'all was on some real fucking evil shit, bro. So it's, you know, I guess the purpose of it is to show, like, the complexity of Atticus and just, like, you know, he's been through and seen terrible things. And then he found out about some premonition from a Korean woman that he fell in love with that happened to be a monster, too.
Wait, did she actually I don't remember her telling him. Oh, she told him, don't go back.
Don't go back to America because you're going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's from America, so he's going to go back eventually. So, I mean, he's going to die.
She should have been like, get me some papers, boy. I'm trying to come back. I'm trying to get to America.
Yeah, he tried. She didn't want to do it.
Nah, bro. Once she had all that shit coming out of every angle.
It might have been lit, though, Jer.
Are you asking?
Nah, I'm good, bro.
Imagine if she did that to the Grendel. It would have been crazy, my boy.
Yo, Waz, by the way, were you asking if he was gonna ask her, do you have your passport?
Did you get your shots?
Girl, come back to America. Rock to America. America.
America. Did you get your shots?
Did you get your shots? Girl, would you like to come back with Rob to America?
Oh, man.
Yo, how many more episodes of this thing do we have? I have no idea, man.
Actually, here's the thing. Naima, did I say this on the pod last week? Where Naima apparently is familiar with the source material, and she said, the source material is a book of short stories that are lightly connected with the common characters. So that's why every episode feels like very wrapped up, standalone in its own self. Like we have a beginning, middle, and end. And then there's like, oh, yeah, and that's him from that other story. That's her from this story, whatever. That's why it's like that, because it's actually short stories that they try to make into one big story. I am still staggered by how many people like this show. I thought everyone was going to be like me, like, yo, what is this dumb shit? And I'm like, surprised. The most powerful hour in television. I'm like, what?
You know what it is, I mean. It's just cap. We're in a moment where you have to praise black art and black. Nah. It's a lot of cap and projection going on. There's no chance in hell this show is as popular as people would make it out to be.
I mean, I'm like,
I bet you it gets a second season.
Probably because of what Waz just said. Did anyone follow the Emmys, by the way?
No.
I just seen a bunch of black people. I see a bunch of black people retweeting all the black winners, yeah. So that was lit.
I think she did win. Zendaya won for Euphoria, and that,
so it ain't Zendaya.
I have no idea how to say her name.
I don't know what it is, honestly.
Names you see written but never hear out loud.
Right.
Okay. I thought it was Zendaya. Okay. Go off.
Either way, she won, which she absolutely deserved. She killed it in that role. That's a very bold hour in filmmaking. Every time you in television when we watch that, like. It made me uncomfortable because I knew it was real. I knew, like, this is what this shit is like. These little kids are not growing up like we did. We're like, oh, I have a couple pulls of weed behind the school or whatever. These kids are doing crazy-ass drugs, like, and doing all types of wild-ass shit. And I was like, it's terrifying, it's uncomfortable, but also, that's great fucking TV. So shout-out to them. Shout-out to Regina King. Regina King for winning for Watchmen again.
That's bold television.
That's not just fucking horseshit you guys have on.
Hey man, my man Jonathan Abrams might be next, bro. Let's keep supporting.
Jonathan Abrams?
Jonathan Abrams is the homie from That's his name? Oh. Jonathan Abrams?
I don't think that's his last name, but it's Jonathan something.
That was Jonathan Abrams is the dude that wrote the book about The Wire.
Well, about The Wire, used to work at Grantland. Yeah.
That's Jonathan Abrams. I'm like, word? He got a show now? Oh, man. All right, so speaking of other trash TV, Power, let's run through this one real quick, because I would just
I'll fuck with this, dog. Did you? I'll fuck with this one. Yes, I like, man, I'm on, listen, I'll be hyped to see Power now.
The whole
thing. I don't know why.
Once they got the fake trial.
That shit was ass.
So the mock trials. Let's start with the mock trials. Okay. So, what did y'all think about the mock trials? First of all, can you really do that in real life?
No. I don't think so. Chance. There's no way.
There's no chance, right?
There's no way.
So, listen, that's just why I thought it was so great, because it's power, bro.
No, they do have ways of, like, focus group and shit. Like, for instance, they talk about the OJ trial. They focus grouped Marsha Clark and everybody. The black women hated her. And she was so convinced that she was down with the sisters that she was like, no, please, black women love me. And it turned out that she was wrong. Like, that she just, for whatever reason, she wasn't getting across to them. So they did some type of focus group. So I think that's something that happens.
But with a real judge and pay jurors and pay another attorney. No. And then say, hey,
that shit cracking in
all here. You got to do is write an NDA and we're good. Like, what?
Yeah, that don't sound right.
By the way, I never thought this could ever be the case, but I find myself liking Tyreek now. One. And two.
I can explain.
I just continue to hate Tasha. She's just the worst.
I can explain.
But go ahead.
Here's why. Because you actually brought it up 2 weeks ago. because the kid has gotten better at acting.
He did. Yes.
And so his acting is actually making him more tolerable.
Yep.
The writing is still terrible, right? Like the whole, like, the scene with the professor in class.
Yo, what was that, son?
Yo.
Listen, he tried to be fake intellectual. That's some shit I was, that's young Waz at his school.
That's Kyrie. That's Kyrie.
No, that's young Waz, though, and me. Like, I'm sure when he was going to that white school up north.
Yeah.
Listen, that's Waz in there being a smart ass.
Yo, man, that scene had me crying. Like, they just, Power just is, they can't focus on a story. It's like, all right. Tyreek is in a new environment. He's trying to help his mother beat the case. There are these new people in his life. Okay, cool. It's enough that these people are gangsters and they have gangster problems. They got to add the chick wants to go to college and they're not letting her go to college. You know, they got to add the two professors at his school used to smash and now he's smashing students in the office next door. It's like, whoa.
Graduate student, bro.
Oh, yeah, student. Facts. That's an important distinction. There's just so much going on, but I'm enjoying the Mary J. Blige family.
She hard.
Yeah. She's hard. Super hard.
I fuck with her.
She walks in cussing everybody. She's like a black Susie Green.
Nah.
Every time she cusses.
She gave me Black Mom vibes for sure. I was hyped.
She's not making it out this season, yo. Or if this is a multi-season thing?
It's not. It's just a 10 thing. It's a somebody. Died.
Yeah, oh, she's not a 10 episode. She's not making it out this season.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
Got you.
So, yeah, she's not making it out of this season. She's getting killed by her husband.
Waz was able to brush past a couple of things. Let's talk about Lorenzo's VIP. The nigga is the most lit nigga in prison. Nigga had a queen size bed. Nigga, California king in his shit.
Son, when he offered to do the Corona, I was like, yo, this nigga he's super lit. Yeah. The prison setup is hilarious. Everybody's on payroll, apparently. The guards, the freaking cops, everybody. This dude is apparently fucking Pablo Escobar. So I thought, yeah, that was interesting for sure.
The thing about Power that gets me is, like, sometimes it has, like, a pretty good idea. Like, the idea of how Tariq would be entangled with his family is because, all right, I'm with that. The problem is, every scenario they do, it's like they hired writers who have never been in that scenario. The kid walks into the locker room and is, like, shit-talking some other kid on the team. Like, no one who's been in the locker room talks like that.
It doesn't work like that.
None of this works like that. Did you guys guess? Like, when you wrote this? Same thing with, like the classroom scene. Like, no college is like this. Did you guys just guess what college was like? And then, the fake courtroom. Like, no lawyer does this. Are you guys just guessing what lawyers do? So that's the thing about Power that gets me. It's like, it's so unnecessary. You could actually tell a good story if you just did a little homework, burn a calorie, like ask somebody who's actually done it.
I mean, when did Tasha become a pro in jail? Her quick adjustment, she's a fast learner. It's like she got a chance to be outside the bubble, and then when she hit the bubble, she was like a super rookie. My nigga, she got that burner and that plan B. I mean, the morning after pill. Yep. And just turned into a super thug. She like looking, she scurrying off wind, knowing like she done been there before. And then you catch her crying and all this and shook posture. So that was kind of funny. This nigga Zeke is pissing me off.
Zeke is the son, the gangster.
No, Zeke is the basketball player.
The basketball
player. No, Zeke's the basketball player.
He's killing me now, bro.
He's ridiculous.
Like they had a dorky white hooper that's replacing him, but like he does the press conference and he got me so mad.
It's like none of this happens. He got me so mad. Your schools do the opposite. They actually go out of their way to not let the athlete speak.
Right.
Also, Stanfield is supposed to be like an Ivy League type school. Since when do they care so much about like the basketball team?
Right.
Like all of a sudden it became Michigan. Like, wait, what happened here?
That's just so funny, man.
When I thought when you're ineligible, I thought you're not allowed to do any of the stuff that he did. Like, I thought you're just not allowed to do that shit.
My nigga, my 1 year I transferred from school, nigga, I had to sit in the stands. That shit was trash,
also,
a whole semester.
I've been to college. As I understand it, you only get grades at the end of the semester. Like, the idea that, like, week to week, is his grades up yet? Like, it doesn't work like that,
right?
Bitch.
Like, right.
Again, have you never been to college?
Okay, hey, when you break it down technically, now you're making me mad at me. It probably is pretty
but
bad. You know,
but Trey, like, to be honest with you, that I can usually ignore that kind of lack of attention to detail to stuff that people haven't done before, except when it comes to basketball or sports. It's the same reason, like, right. That Kevin Costner movie Draft Day. I couldn't. Because, like, this is nothing like what happens. But people think, oh, yeah, and then there's an intern, and his first day will be on draft day, and he'll be working for the GM. Like, no, doesn't work like that. That guy never even comes upstairs, let alone work on draft day. You know, so, you know, it's just I don't have a suspension of disbelief for sports.
So Zeke is pretty much dumb on and off the court. Drew Tejada is the weak link. He can't carry his own weight. Kane always has to save his ass.
Kane is crazy.
Let's talk about Drew and Lil Guap's interaction.
Ooh. You had to know that was about to happen. Like, Lil Guap in there. It's Lil Guap,
like,
right?
Lil Money. Lil Guap.
Which doesn't sound like a good nickname. Lil Money? Like, hey, I'm broke, basically. Not Big Guap, that's the name.
Like, you see my man wilding out on the Instagram video. You send the weakest link in there to go have a conversation with my
purpose,
man.
Right?
Yeah, and you knew he was going to get sunned.
They knew he was going to get sunned. That's why they did it.
That's the thing about power, too, that kills me, is that drug dealing always has to be a family business, right? Like, you have to, like, it's not like in real life where a lot of dudes are in gangs, in criminal organizations, and they send their kids to private school, send them off to college. Like, yeah, you don't have to do this to get money. You'll be able to rub shoulders with legitimate people and keep it pushing.
To be fair.
But in power, that, no matter what.
To be fair, that's what Ghost wanted.
Yes, wanted it Tariq is. It's never been what Tasha wanted, though.
Yeah, no, Tasha's stupid.
Tasha's the same as Naaman's pops. Real talk. Oh, I mean, wow. Naaman's mom's in the Wire. We Bay Shorty.
Nah, don't do that, bro. She's not as bad as Naaman's mom. Naaman's mom is like the worst fucking. Her and Boston George's mom are like the two worst moms ever in fucking movies or any type of television.
So, Waz mentioned it briefly. Jabari, he's a professor, aka fake Mark Lamont Hill. Yeah. His sex problem.
That's a thing. We still be doing.
By the way,
I think we lost the culture.
By the way, the shorties on this show are bad.
Stupid.
Some bad ones
shout
on this
to the
show.
Casting.
The graduate
shout
to the casting. Yes.
I'm into the professor. I forget her name. The one
she
who's
looks
obsessed
like,
with.
She looks like Aisha Tyler. Every time
she
I look
do.
At her,
she
I
does.
See
she does.
Tyler.
She does. For some reason, I'm getting the vibes that she's gonna let Tyreek beat. Am I the only one getting that vibe?
Of course.
Nah, bruh. I said that fucking the first interaction they had, my man Zeke is trying to smash and she was trying to throw that shit to Tyreek and Tyreek over. I'm sorry. I wouldn't have been that motherfucking cool. How old is Tyreek? 17, like, 18? Nah, bruh. My leg would have started shaking because I'd be like, oh shit,
the
I'm
way
get this
she's
shit.
Showing an interest in, like, we want to do a memorial for your dad and because your dad was a great person and blah blah blah. I'm like, yo. Ma, I don't know you. What are you doing? So I feel like she wants to throw him some vibes.
Well, and she got the sex addiction.
And then the two shorties that he's dealing with right now, the classmate shorty, I'm a fan of. She's nice.
She's a joint.
She's nice.
Did somebody just say
I said she's all right.
Hold on, Amin. You're not feeling the classmate, the Spanish shorty?
The blonde hair, the light.
Oh, man, you wildin',
come on,
boy.
Man. God. Oh, all right.
What about Zeke cousins?
Diana?
Diana.
Yeah, I'm
Diana
feeling
Tejada.
Her too.
You're
I'm
not
feeling
Diana
too.
Either?
Diana's a girl I would have dated in high school.
She's a joint. She's supposed to be Spanish too.
This nigga just stunned. He said she's a joint I would have dated in high school. I'm a grown ass man.
She a little, I like a little,
Yo, man. Back to your notes, Trey, please.
Oh man, so I mean, you know, what's up with Jabari? Like, is he gonna get caught? I mean, obviously, I thought he was about to get the Triz popping when she heard the noise.
Trey, here's the thing. At first, I thought like, oh man, she gonna get mad. Then I was like, oh no, she gonna bust in that door. Like, I can't believe you would do this. And I'm like, wait a second. There was a point where she kind of like kind of leaned over, and I was like, wait a minute.
Here's the problem. We've all watched. We've been socialized by porn too much. That's a porn scene, okay? Like, the lady's working in the office next door, and she hears two people going at it, and then she knocks on the door and be like, oh, my. And then she starts touching herself. Exactly. Like, bro,
that's... This is what they do. They go, they walk in, they find the people fucking, but the people fucking don't notice. So then they start to play with themselves in, like, from behind a towel rack or something like that. And then the girls are like, Mom! Or whatever, like Aunt Marie, and then that's where she makes some comment about, oh, but you're not even doing it right. And now we escalate. Now we have a little bit of a competition that goes, and then scene. No, just me? Okay. Yeah.
No. I thought that she was about to start pleasuring herself. I was like, oh, is this where we taking it? Okay, Power, I'm not mad at this. But it just never happened. She was just like, her work was disturbed. It was just a strange, that's just a weird scene. I don't know why we needed that. We needed to establish, what were we establishing there? That this dude has Bucks. Sex? I don't understand. Like, that was kind of unnecessary.
The idea is,
nah, he just probably listened. I think he got fired from his other job for doing the same shit, and like she gave him an opportunity to vouch for
him.
He's just a serial sex nigga.
Okay. He's a sex addict.
So they both sex addicts then.
Serial sex nigga. That's
well, isn't that bad? Like when you're
serial sex niggas is crazy. By the way,
shouldn't you not bring another sex addict to your work environment if you're a sex addict and also fuck this person? Yeah, and live right next door to you. That's like being, you know, whatever attic, and you moving right next to the fucking dope house.
Well, I think this shit don't make sense. Situation, he ain't admitted it or accepted it. You feel me? I think that because he wrote the book, he the nigga that's all lit and everybody know about him, and she got sent off as having a problem, but he was taking advantage of her. I'm pretty sure he was getting Mr. Marcus with her. You know what I'm saying? Getting it crazy.
Shout out to Mr.
Marcus.
Just being mad rude. And just saying like how Wesley Pipes was saying.
Wesley Pipes is mad rude, man.
He's spitting all in her mouth, bro. He's getting crazy with her, bro. Just because she knows that she got an addiction and just taking over.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I'm interested to see if homie get fired or
he's not gonna get fired.
Nah, he won't get fired, bro.
If he's just gonna abuse the situation, Tate's supposed to come back next episode.
Oh, so maybe he smashes the teacher.
That's sick. Yes, I mean, how this show going? Who knows, bro?
He gonna go check on Tariq.
I know for a fact Tariq will smash. Like it was written in the
teacher.
Stars.
You guys think that's gonna happen?
1,000% It's
okay.
Power.
I'm looking forward to that.
He comes off as a nigga that don't want buns.
Nah, but
he definitely does, bro. Because the little light skinned shorty was throwing that thing right at him. He was like,
"Yeah."
Nah,
she was like, "You know, I can help you with your school and blah 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 blah." He's like, "Yeah, maybe I'll take you up on that." Like, what?
All that nigga care about is selling drugs, pissing his people off, and making money.
I mean, in his defense, he's trying to get his mom. He's trying to make sure his mom is.
What are you guys doing here?
Nah, but he been wild though.
Yeah,
that's the thing for me. All right, moving on. We got another show that we watch. Woke. Everybody watch Woke.
So
yeah, I watch Woke.
Full disclosure, I watched 75% of episode one and fell asleep.
Okay.
And then today I was going to watch episode two and I got busy because I went and I just did Andrew Schultz's podcast, Flagrant 2. So I figured I'll plug our pod on the show and then that's going to do a lot better than me watching Woke. So I just know that Woke is about a cartoonist who basically
he's a cartoonist. a fairly, like, you know, a mainstream cartoonist, and he has a racial awakening after getting roughed up by the police for no reason. Before this, he kind of self-identified as basically a safe Negro. And he has a, you know, a sort of come to Jesus moment with his racial identity on stage at some Comic-Con type event. And then, you know, I guess I watched the first two episodes, and the show is basically him coming to grips with his identity and how he can filter that through his work, actually make quote unquote important art, which I don't know, man. It's so crazy to me because, like, I don't know that people should have to make quote unquote important shit just because they're black, right? Like, I understand both sides of it. Like, when you, it's just like, you know, it's kind of your responsibility to talk about certain things that happen to black people as a black artist. I get that, but I just hate the idea that this dude would dedicate his life to just making race work, you know. But the show is just about a safe Negro. I don't want to, they don't make him an Uncle Tom, but they make him like,
they make
he
him
basically play, says he in the plays episode,
the game.
Second,
he plays the game.
Yes, exactly. Yes, he's like, I didn't think it would happen to me.
Yep.
You know? And so it's an interesting sort of premise that they're playing on. I don't know that Lamorne Morris is the type of cat that could carry this type of vehicle. You know, I don't know that he has the it factor to lead a show like this, but I'm intrigued by the subject matter, so I'm definitely going to watch it.
I think he does.
So I'm almost done with the entire season.
Oh, nice. And,
I mean, because it just flows or whatever. Like, it's nothing crazy. It's not addictive. It's not like fire. It's cool. But it's also like one of those, it just reminds me of like what we experienced during the George Floyd situation, where it was a lot of niggas that was quiet and then just something just happened and it struck a nerve for niggas to actually speak up, including myself.
Right.
But his character as him saying like, I don't see color, or, you know what I mean, was like actually cool and blind to like the racial shit that was going on in front of his face. And for him to wake up and then now have this like, the struggles in between, like fighting with markers and animated like that, I couldn't fuck with that part. But like, if you keep watching it, it gets funny on certain parts, but then also you could see why it's like, yo, this shit kind of corny.
Bro, oh my God. They have some of the most talented people working on this show, unfortunately, are playing inanimate objects. Keith David, who is the dad from ATL, he plays a Bible.
He's a dad in
Cedric Cedric the Entertainer plays a trash can. Sam Richardson, who some of you guys might know from Veep. He split from Veep. Super funny black dude. He plays Toast. Like, oh, that, I mean, he's Toast? Like, yeah, he's the Toast.
Okay.
He's a funny dude. Like, these are talented people, and they got them playing freaking just doing voice work. It's Leon. I'm pretty sure that's Leon.
Oh, Leon's the marker, right? Yeah, Leon is 100% the marker.
Yeah, again, like, extremely talented folks doing cartoon shit, which I think is unfortunate, but still, there is talent behind the show.
I'm hating on cartoon.
Like, nah, it's I can't, I don't want to really spoil it. I don't know how much we're going to spend on this show. But like, as it got more and more, like, it was just crazy ass conversations on this shit that it's like, if you had a roommate, or if you, like, I mean, this is a black man living in San Francisco. He's a cartoonist, which is like, niggas is not cartoonists, first of all. And then also, like, he got his fucking homie, like, that's like cool, but like not cool. The black nigga with the beard.
The ball
he
player.
Like, yeah, he don't come off as like, he kind of saved the show because he kind of funny, but like he also come off corny too. So like, and then the white dude to find some balance, like we all got that white homie that's just kind of like decent. But I don't know the shelf life on this show. Like, I don't want to kill it off because I think we deserve to make bad shit too. But yeah, I just don't know. The climate of this is just like, all right, whatever.
You think it's not a good show, or it's just a good show?
It's just okay. Like, I wouldn't say, yo, you need to check it out. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, it's just on some shit like, all right, if it's nothing else on, for sure, I'm going to watch it. But
I'm about to watch.
You know.
I'm
it's,
I do
it, watch. Yo, it's, Don't. I think you downplayed a little bit. I think it's me of all people. I think it's actually funny.
Okay. Here's a disclaimer. Were you baked when you watched it?
Yes. Episode one, yes. Episode two, no.
Okay. I give you the benefit. I think Under the Influence cartoons, I mean, like actual fucking pins and shit talking with a certain voice and saying nigga and shit, you're going to cackle for sure.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, I would definitely not the, you know,
do what sober minds, sober dogs.
Funny.
Real quick, speaking of sobriety, I know this is a little bit of a tangent, but I've been thinking about this. So, Bronny James, the son of LeBron James.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
got caught. I don't know if you get caught if you posted the video yourself, but basically smoking on a nugget while my pop smokes the nuggets. What a witty bar from the young man.
Wait, hold on. He captioned?
Yes.
Wait,
that was the caption?
You didn't see the caption?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, I didn't know he was wilding.
Yeah, that's so hilarious.
Talk that talk.
He got bars.
So, but anyway, so
somebody edited out that on there. You know that, right?
They put it on there, or someone else put it on.
Okay, okay. So come on, the copywriter.
Yeah, because the story was that he posted that by accident.
How do you?
That it was probably supposed to be a DM.
Theory is that he posted himself that he was going to send close friends, and he fucked up. Wow.
That's why I don't fuck with the close friends shit. That shit's
I've
a
never
trap,
even
bro.
Tried it, Jerv. Hey. Nah, I've never even tried it. I'm
but
good.
Why are y'all even using Instagram to send shit anyway? Like, I don't even understand that concept.
I'll tell you why.
Like, the same thing with Jamal Murray showing, like, him getting top. Like, how do you even just slip up like that, big dog?
Yo, you don't know the Jamal Murray story?
You don't know about the Jamal Murray shit?
No, I got to Google this. I guess I got to Google
this. His wife, he was serving him, bro, and he just posted on the story. And niggas just screen cap like, yeah. Oh. I was like, yo, she.
Damn, dog, you making light-skinned niggas look bad, dog.
I mean, it wasn't a bad look. It was just like.
That's reckless behavior.
That's a bad.
That's not a bad look. I'm going to say this. I'm going to just say there was an aggressive pubic hair thing going on there.
There you go.
Very aggressive. Very aggressive.
He definitely should have got a Manscaped ad.
You guys are sickos.
Yeah. Manscaped. I hope this is a Manscaped week. Now we just gave him three great.
Yeah, man. But listen, dog. All I'm saying overall, I mean, I don't know. Like, you feel me? Like, they made a big deal about Malia smoking. Then you think
Malia.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And then you think about Bronny. The only thing is, everybody smoke weed, but the thing that you have to factor in, he's 15. So it's like, if you 18, nigga, you can do whatever you want. But 15, it's like, nigga, you're living Brentwood.
Like, what's that, like a sophomore?
Yeah.
He's going into the 10th grade now.
Oh, yeah, no, that's too young. I don't think for me.
So, first of all, listen, he's smoking whatever he's smoking, some BD, some stress, whatever. Whatever the white homies done plugged in with. Because some white person put him on that for sure.
Always.
He in Brentwood. And, bro, you're super rich. You're a super rich kid. Regardless if you got the money or not, your dad is loaded, bro. It just sucks because I remember when I was that age, I looked at weed as crack. I just wasn't just like really exposed. I just thought niggas was burnt out. He not in the pathway. He love a sport too much for him to like indulge in it crazy.
Trey, this is the thing you got to remember because I was thinking about this today. The idea is that if you are growing up in California now over the last few years, it is super normalized, right? Like marijuana use in the Western United States is super normalized in that, like I say this all the time because I'm in New York right now and I've had it happen uptown at my cousin's neighborhood where people ask me if I want that gas. And I'm like, really? You guys are still selling this shit on the streets like drug dealers? And you understand? I go to supermarket to go buy my shit now. We got weed Uber on the West Coast. Like Uber right. Weeds, right?
You
like,
come up here to Washington, you can buy weed in Walmart for 30 cash.
Yeah, man. So it's just like.
That shit ain't no gas, though.
I mean, Jerv, it's fucking dispensaries on every corner like a liquor store.
They got gas at the dispensaries, Jerv.
Not at Walmart, though.
Not at Walmart.
Walmart not going to have gas? They don't have
They don't have gas.
No, Walmart's definitely serving Reggie.
Listen, what if the Walmart had
the
rating?
Skywalker? They don't have Skywalker?
Listen, what if they got the Obama runs with the 5-star rating?
They got Yoda.
The Obama what?
You said who?
If they got the Obama runts with the 5-star rating.
Ooh.
Jerk, you smoking runts yet?
Bruh, runts is like,
okay, all right, all right.
That's my shit. Cause
the point is like these kids, not just not Bronny, but like every kid he goes to school with. Probably
they all getting high.
No,
bro.
But it's not that they're getting high. Their parents, you know, like there's some people who, like, let their kids drink, like, you know,
yeah,
like their parents are going in their body, or no, actually more appropriately, people who share cigarettes with their kids. Like I've seen that, like people just accept that their kids smoke and they smoke too, and so then they just, hey, let me get one, let me bum one off of you, whatever. But it's just like it doesn't have the stigma that you're talking about, Trey. Mm-hmm. They don't have that. Like beyond like, oh yeah, a lot more people smoke weed. It's like, it's literally legal, right? And all of that stuff about this is a gateway drug, all that's kind of debunked. And when it's one thing for it to be legal. It's another thing when you see people, grown folks, like parents of grown children, smoking and doing everything. And it's like out in the open, I could see why. Now, he's still underage. He shouldn't be doing it. But it's like a combination of like, this is what niggas do. And all my friends probably have parents that don't even care if they do or don't. You kind of, yeah, man. Like, and as always, I'm always sure there's an element where, like, there's some pussy involved. Because when you're 15 years old, goddammit, there's not that much you do in life that isn't in the hunt for pussy, if you're into that sort of thing.
So, do you remember that one video he uploaded?
That he deleted?
Where
last year.
The one where he was crying over the girl?
Yeah.
And he was saying, all she want to do is smoke weed, I'm pretty sure. And it was another, it was a get-off video, too. I think Rob shared it with us, where the TikTok, where Shorty was moving his head and doing all this other shit. Yeah, I seen that, John. Listen, he done fell into that snow. You know, I mean, listen, you go to a private school. I already know he playing in the snow. But
was?
I was waiting for it.
We need our correspondent on...
This is the thing about Bronny. His dad's a billionaire. None of this shit matters. If he doesn't make it to the NBA, he'll be completely fine. He'll be super rich. He's gonna be straight no matter what happens. So, you know, that's why it's extra stupid. Like, you know, when it comes to like people like us, Trey, when we was hooping, when we were younger, and they were telling us, yo, man, you can't be doing that because you're not going to get a scholarship. You're not going to do this because we thought we were saving our freaking lives.
Niggas never told me, dog. I just watched niggas just fall to the power of the blunt. Mm. Like, it was to a point where it's like, come on, my nigga. It's like 8 a.m., my nigga. You're blowed. And it was like at 15. No, but I'm just saying at 14, 15, my nigga, being like cushed out of your mind, like,
and you can still go to school?
Like, no, but niggas ridiculous. Is there, like, not going to class and just like, yo, do you know it's third period now? You've been stuck in that same spot. My nigga, I done went to 2 classes. What do you come to school for? Just to get blowed and eat like a fucking Big Texas? Nigga was eating a Big Texas, nigga, with a fucking Snapple.
Oh, that was like, sounds great right now.
Oh, man, see? Munchy of me. Yeah. But, I mean, it's just different, though. Like, I just look at it like, cool. I just think at 9th grade, like, I don't know, because I don't want to challenge. I don't know what their household's like. I don't want to say, like, Savannah wasn't paying attention and shit that.
Savannah's in the bubble.
So the nigga probably fucking his fucking maid. Who knows? This nigga lit, bro.
Yeah, that crib is probably popping.
Yo, man. Like, that's what I was trying to tell somebody. I was like, yo, he's 16 years old. His parents are gone. We got a free house this weekend or whatever, this month, right?
So is his grandma watching him?
I guess so. It's a family members or whatever, right? And like Jerv said, it's not like a 4-bedroom little chalet. It's a there's probably whole wings of the house that people don't even know.
My nigga, he in the cut like a Band-Aid, nigga.
Right?
He gotta use it just like Drake, nigga, with the walkie-talkie in the crib. I know Bron got a sick ass spot.
Absolutely, got an intercom.
We're like, nigga, you could be in the left wing and niggas wouldn't even know.
But you know, like, let me say this. Even if he wasn't LeBron's son, even if his dad was a regular dude with a regular job, and even if he's the same caliber of basketball player that he is now, which by most people say he's not an NBA player, right? He's going to be a D1 player, but like a high D1, but not right now, at least. You know, we're giving him time. But, yo, even if all that were true, this shit still doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Like, if, you know, he's going to get recruited by wherever he's going to get recruited. And
yeah, nigga's not going to not just, like, recruit the nigga because he smokes weed
one time on camera.
Nah.
Like, people don't care. And that's why that was my thing. I was like, yo, it's not a big deal because it doesn't matter. It's not like, it's not, if he was doing like blow or like smoking crack or doing heroin,
right?
And then it's like, now you've got like
crystal. If he was doing crystal,
then it might like, but like he's smoking weed, which is something that they, a lot of them already do, right? Like a lot of these kids are getting scholarships and not like, oh, I've never touched the wacky tobacco, right? So it's, if it's disposable as an event, then will it matter? And I think it's disposable for two reasons. One, it's because everyone kind of already assumes everyone's doing it. And two, is because our attitude towards weed are just different. Like, I remember when Klay Thompson's draft stock fell because of a couple of, like, weed incidents at Washington State, which now just seems like a funny personality quirk, right? We just make fun of Klay for being high all the time. But back then, like, it was a real thing. 10 years ago, it could ruin your draft stock or affect it. Now, like, nobody gives a shit, man. Anyways.
There you have it. Let Bronny smoke the weed, man. Yeah. And let him do his thing.
And Bronny, put the phone down, man.
Please, for the love of God.
You got 5 million followers, dog. It's you too lit right now.
Hey, Bronny, if you want to go to a university where you're not going to be judged, the people on campus won't be mad at you because you just like to get down with the get down a little bit. Take your talents to Hampton University, where you will be appreciated.
That's a sick recruit.
And love.
I thought he was going to take your ass down the street to SC.
You know what I was going to say, though? Shout outs to, first of all, shout outs to Deion Sanders, Jackson State University, Coach Prime. I don't know what he about to do over there. It's going to be something illegal, but it's going to be lit. And then I also wanted to shout out, who else did I want to shout out? It was somebody else, man. I was like doing something really black and really beautiful, but I can't even think about it right now. It slipped my mind.
Beyonce.
I don't even speak them name. I don't even speak that name, but what happened? No,
I'm just guessing. Someone did some black and
beautiful. Beyonce's always doing something black.
And beautiful. Nah, it was
beautiful.
Yeah, shout out to that. But it was something else that was like a small win, but it was big for, you know, I wanted to highlight. I can't even think of it. It was like, at this moment, I can't think. So it'll come back to me. I'm going to be mad. But we got anything else? Oh, lyricist, dog. Can we get in that really quick?
What was the question again?
Oh, yeah.
So, Kendrick or who?
The internet. The Post internet. Malone? And I know Waz is going just ready to hang up. But
nah, we good.
It's a debate between who's the better lyricist. Who's the better lyricist, Kendrick or Lupe Fiasco? And I'm like, it's not a no-brainer, but I'm going to say Lupe is the better lyricist.
I agree.
I think Kendrick can make better songs.
He's just way better.
And do all that other shit.
He has way better musical taste. And I think the shit that Kendrick is good at, like, he's really good at a narrative on his album. Like, he's telling you a story the whole album. But like some of that stuff where like Kendrick is, you know, that song on Damn where he's talking about his dad and meeting Top and blah, 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 and all of that. Like he's spinning like a yarn for you. Lupe was doing that shit years ago, you know, 15 right. years ago. He was doing that kind of stuff. And, yeah, of course. And just like the crazy stuff Lupe has done with rhymes is just, you know, it's on the level of anybody you've ever heard rap before, you know, but now is that as important as making songs that people like listening to? I personally don't think so. but if you want to have your lyricist mantle, then have it. Yeah,
that's,
you know,
that's my thing. It's like, this reminds me of an argument I got into with Proof. We were talking about LeBron versus Jordan. And so, and by the way, I don't have an answer in that, but Proof is like Jordan, because anything from 1993 is the epitome, the peak of everything for him. So the guy loves Pac and he loves Jordan. Like, you know, so he goes, so he says, man, Jordan's better than LeBron at everything. He's a better scorer. He's a bit like, he started going through the thing. Then he said, he's a better passer. And I'm like, ah, come on, man. Like, LeBron out here like magic. He's like, no. Jordan could pass. He just didn't feel like it. I'm like, what? And then this is the kicker. Proof said that Jordan's a better rebounder. And I'm like, cool. Come on, man. Like,
wait, what?
That's wild. So, but like, the point is to prove, because he likes Jordan over LeBron, he will delude himself into believing that Jordan is literally right. better at everything. Same thing here.
Right. At everything.
You can mm-hmm. make an argument like that Kendrick Lamar is a way better artist than Lupe Fiasco, and that's fine. But what you're doing is then if you break down the different elements, you're saying he wins in every category. Like, for instance, not having an annoying voice. He clearly does not win that category against anybody. But if you're just out here checking all the boxes because you're not even giving a shit on what's the other side, then it'll lead you to something ridiculous like Kendrick Lamar is a better lyricist than Lupe Fiasco.
I disagree with you, Trey. I think it is. I don't even think it's up for debate. I think anybody that says Kendrick is just a hater. And you just don't respect bars. Like it's just that simple. And it's not saying Kendrick doesn't have bars because he's out Push, here.
Like Punch was saying, like, basically, if you say Lupe, you out of your mind. And I'm like,
of course Punch is gonna say that.
Yeah, right.
Like, what's he gonna do? Shit on his own, man? Listen, I don't.
Yeah. But no, that's the thing. It's not about even shitting on your own. You just got to sit it out and let the people decide it.
Right.
You feel me?
Right.
Because that's how I feel about LeBron. Like, niggas know you nice, dog. But when you go to the Instagram and post like,
and go on the shop. Or, shit, when I came back from 3-1 like, down, I was the GOAT.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't do that. The people anoint right. you as the icon or whoever you're supposed to be.
And, so, and
like,
another thing people, our listeners should know is that there's a history here between Kendrick and Lupe. Lupe did make a diss record. He dissed them after Control because Lupe took it personally. He was like, whoa, boy, I rap. I don't give a fuck. I will rap at you till the day that I die, okay? And so there's a history there. Of course, he addressed the Kendrick situation on his Instagram Live, and he gave a pretty detailed, reasoning as to why he was like, I just feel like I'm, when it comes to like this writing shit, like this bar shit, like I just think I'm better than his son. And he gave a very detailed explanation. I watched it on YouTube the other day. So there's a history here, mostly on Lupe's end with these two. So that's something to keep in mind as well. So if Punch is going out of his way to say something publicly, it's because they're probably annoyed by the way Lupe has handled things just overall and in the past.
There it is. It really explains it. That's exactly what's happening.
Well, it looks like that's yeah. it.
You know, we can wrap it up here. Thank you, Big Waz. Thank you, Big Jerv, Black Trey. Thank you, Rob Lopez on the 1 and 2s. Thank you to you, the listeners. Remember, subscribe if you haven't. Download it if you haven't. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Give us feedback. Tag us when you do stuff on Instagram. Tag us on Twitter. Leave comments. Your engagement helps. Even if you think like no one can see it, we absolutely see it. So till next time, stay black, motherfuckers.